Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and you're going to be glad you got on board today. I can promise you that. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We open our hearts and minds to receive revelation from heaven, and we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Keith?
Yes, sir.
Welcome again,
Thank you.
All last week, in talking about my sheep know my voice, my sheep hear my voice, he said, any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. My sheep know my voice.
Right.
And he said, a stranger's voice they won't follow. Now, that's important.
Very important.
So when you believe that in John 10, and you stand on that, it takes away the fear of getting the wrong stuff.
Right.
Getting the wrong message. And well, you know, I ain't gonna tell them, I don't know whether I'm hearing right or not. No. No, that's what we're talking about. Don't be saying that. Don't be doing that. You believe first what Jesus said about
exactly. Yes, sir.
Get us back into this, Keith. This is so vital. At the close of the broadcast, we were talking about yesterday that God has a plan before the foundation of the world. Now, he made that plan before there was a devil. He made that plan before there was sin, before there was any of that. So his plan is magnificent, man. I mean, he planned ahead. Think about all of this universe and all of the marvelous things, the way he designed and developed heaven and all of that. He didn't do that for himself. He did it for his family. And he began to enlarge. He already had heaven, but he began to build on. He's going to have a family here.
Then he
created this marvelous garden. Then he created the man. So see, all the other was for the man, and then he put the man in it. And that was supposed to have been the worst condition mankind was ever in, because it should have gotten better from there. And the blessing was to turn all the rest of this planet into the garden spot of the universe.
Mama.
And I'm totally satisfied once we got it done on this planet, we would have launched into the rest of it. But the important thing here, the plan never changed.
Yeah.
Always God's will for it to just get better and better.
Yes, sir.
And better.
Yes,
and
sir.
Better.
Yes,
and
sir.
Better. But to do it, you're going to have to know the plan, and to know the plan, you're going to have to go to the planner, and to go to the planner, you're going to have to hear, and you're going to have to listen.
You're going to have to hear from him. Yes, sir. So many people among believers say something along the line of, many people tell me, I don't hear God like y'all do. I mean, I hear y'all say, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, he never told me anything. I've had people look at me and say, well, are you a believer? You know, are you born again? Well, come right back to what Jesus said. If you are a believer and you're his sheep, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. I lead them and they follow me. And what you begin to realize, the Lord helped me with this, what we're going to share today. It's very exciting. It has to do with the same revelation that those in blindness throughout the whole earth in darkness, why they are blind. Romans 1 talks about this. Down about verse 19, about Romans 1:19. I heard somebody not too long ago, an unbeliever, was saying on TV, he was saying, there is no evidence that God exists. There is no proof of any deity, none whatsoever. And he was adamant. He had some degrees, and that was his conclusion. And the Lord reminded me of this. In Romans 1:19, verse 18 had referred to those, excuse me, I need to go back. Verse 17 talks about the just living by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks about the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you'd have to know something about the truth to be able to hold it in unrighteousness.
Oh, yeah.
If you were just oblivious to it, you couldn't do this. And then he goes on to explain, because that which may be known of God is manifest. Another word for manifest is revealed, shown, made known. That which may be known of God is shown. It's already been made known. In them are to them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Not just it's there, clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, so they were aware of some truth. They saw some things. They knew some things, but when they did, they didn't glorify Him as God, and they weren't thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual, and so many like him, this saying, there is no proof of God. There's no proof of the existence of any God. Well, the truth is, the proof of God's existence is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere in front of them. Their own body, their own heartbeat, the planet they're standing on, the air they breathe. And this scripture reveals there is what may be known of Him, the richness, the vastness of God, His very character, His very person. The mystery of the Godhead is right in front of us and all around us. Here's the key. For those who have eyes to see it.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the key. It's here if you will open your eyes and are willing to see it. And there is a passage of Scripture. It's in Isaiah, it's in Ezekiel, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's in Acts, it's in Romans. Same passage. And this is it. Having eyes that see, to see, but see not.
Yep.
Having ears to hear, but they cannot hear. Having a heart, but they don't understand. That passage is repeated all through the Word of God. I mean, I can think of at least half a dozen times right now.
Yeah.
And Jesus referred to it frequently in talking to people who opposed Him. And He talked about it to just different ones in the crowd that didn't understand some things, didn't see some things. And what the Lord showed me about hearing from Him, it's exactly the same way. When people say, I don't hear God, He never talks to me, that's not true.
No, it isn't true.
That's not true. He's talking to you. He's endeavoring.
All the time.
All the time. And endeavoring to communicate actually with everybody on the planet.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
And the issue is not He's not talking. The issue is they're not hearing. They don't have ears to hear.
When they had the that disaster on 9/11. That was calculated and should have killed in the range of 20,000 people mm-hmm. because of all the people that were involved in that thing.
Yeah.
Now, You and I have a good friend that pastors there at Dan and Ann Stratton.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But now his church, I'm telling a strong church, right? And his, the biggest majority of the members of his church either work in the World Trade Center or commuted through there. And that they're right in the heart of this thing. But he had taught his people how to hear the voice of God.
So important.
Now, he never had a scratch on any member of his church or their family. And they were there were things that happened. Some of them actually heard God say certain things. Mm-hmm. Others, God just very sweetly and kindly just diverted them, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were all kinds of testimonies that didn't go to Dan's church,
mm-hmm.
but there, God is saying, somebody said, you know, I just thought, man, I don't believe I'm going back in there.
Uh-huh.
And they said, something told me.
Yeah.
Well, who are you saying something is?
Who was it?
So, and I'm going through all that,
mm-hmm.
and praying about all of it. And by the way, I remember you and I were just about to come to the studio that morning.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. When that happened. But and I'm seeking the Lord for insight into this. Man, he said to me, some months later, he said, here's what I want you to understand. He said, now, you've heard a lot of testimonies, and a lot of people that, some believers and some not, some mm-hmm. became believers because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I don't know why the Lord spared me, but I know He did.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing.
Right.
He said, Kenneth, what you need to understand is I spoke to everybody.
Everybody was endeavoring to.
He said, I reached out to every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the devil tried to kill them all,
yeah.
and I tried to save them all. Now, that was a revelation.
Yes, sir.
That he said, some heard me and decided, well, you know, they came down and said, well, it's clear now, you can go back.
Uh-huh.
And there's some of them turned around and went back, and then they got hit again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some of them said, no, I ain't going back in there. They mm-hmm. said, no, I don't feel right about that. Now, he said, I told every one of them, don't go back in there.
Uh-huh.
And he said, some of them listened
right.
and didn't do it.
Right.
Some of them knew it was God, some of them didn't.
Exactly.
But they obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
So God was talking all the time
yes,
to
sir.
Everybody.
Yes, sir.
That's what the church needs to know.
Yes, sir. It's even amongst church folk, people have not been taught to pay attention.
That's right.
To what they get inside. I've had good Christian people, ministers. Maybe something happened that could have been, should have been avoided. And they look at you and say, I knew.
Yeah.
I knew yeah. we shouldn't have done that. I knew we should have done this. Well, the question is, if you knew, why didn't you heed it? And all of us can say, there's times I didn't listen. But part of the reason is we should have been taught from childhood.
Oh, yeah.
You pay attention to that. And I don't care what's going on or who's talking to you. You don't let anything or anybody cause you to override what you get inside.
The Spirit of God is talking to somebody right now. Now, you listen to me. You're a young person. I sense in my spirit you're in your late teens, and you've begun going to some parties and stuff that you, when you get there, you're uncomfortable. And listen, sweetheart, you get out of there. You get out of
That's
there.
Right.
That's God trying to tell you, get out of this bunch. Get away from there.
That's right.
Don't keep ignoring that and keep going, because the more you ignore it, the less you hear it. And mm-hmm. you'll finally get your inner man so dulled down that you really don't even much hear it. It isn't God stopping talking to you. Don't get that idea. He's still trying to help you. He's still trying to get you out of there. Listen to Him.
Yes.
Listen to Him.
Yes.
I tell you, you get something, you think, boy, I need to be getting out of here. I don't need to be in here. Mm-hmm. Get out of there right now.
Exactly right.
Because you don't know but what this place is about to explode in
That's
fire.
Right.
You don't know
That's
but
right.
what something's about to happen in here you can't get out of. Right. And listen to me now. I'm going to say it to you again. God is talking to you, and you need to be listening.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And do what He says.
Yes.
Amen.
So be it. Hallelujah. Take heed. Just like the Holy Spirit, God, like you mentioned, God has a plan. It's a detailed plan. He has a path that we're supposed to get on and stay on. And the path gets brighter and brighter and better and better. And if you're on a specific road, that road goes through certain places. If you get on the wrong road, you're not going to go through the places you would have gone through. You're going to go through some other places. And so,
if you wish you wasn't in.
Exactly. So the Lord, if we follow Him, listen to Him, the good Spirit is going to lead us to some good places and good things. Well, the enemy of our soul is always endeavoring to mislead us, get us off the track we're supposed to be on, because on that track, we are protected, we are kept, we are prospered.
Oh, yeah.
We are fruitful. And He can't do much with us unless He can get us out of our place and out from under, out of our grace, away from these things. And so the enemy's always trying to get us off, mislead us, lead us into a wrong place. And He has a plan for us too.
Yes, He does.
And if we stay on that track, it involves destruction and loss and devastation. You think about the precision it takes. We talked about being precision led of the Lord. But you think about the precision it takes to be at an intersection at exactly the moment a drunk driver comes through it at 70 miles per hour.
Mm.
If you had been a minute earlier or a minute later, you wouldn't even come close.
That's right.
And so when people talk about, well, it was a terrible accident. Accident? What's the odds of you being at that point, at that speed, at that time, on that day with them? It's more like a setup.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is always endeavoring to set up. And I have found out, the longer I go, the more I see this, he will try to set things up for 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
To try to hurt you, try to destroy you, try to take you out. But the only way he can do it is if we don't listen.
That's right.
If we don't listen to the Lord.
He's got to have your help.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have words
mm-hmm.
of death and destruction and
right.
so forth. He's got to sidetrack you
right.
where the sower sows the word. And they receive it gladly, but he comes to steal it.
Yeah.
That's what he's after.
Right.
And get your
yeah.
attention
yeah.
onto what they said about you and on the economy or
right.
anything he can do to get you to come over here.
Right.
If you will begin to say what he's saying, then he's authorized to do the work.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And he will kill you.
The Lord showed me in Galatians, it talks about the spirit and the flesh.
Yeah.
And the spirit... The flesh is pulling against the spirit, and the spirit's contrary to the flesh. And he talks about the fruit of the spirit and the works of the flesh. And the Lord pointed out to me, he said, I'm endeavoring to lead you through your spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The enemy is endeavoring to lead you through your flesh.
And that's why the pressure.
Exactly.
That's bad.
and that's one of the reasons why the enemy endeavors to orchestrate such stuff, things, so that you, when you are tired, if you're frustrated, agitated, angry,
mm-hmm.
then he'll come to push you, do this, do that. And so many times that's when people say things they shouldn't have said, they make decisions they shouldn't make, and what they're doing, they're being led through their flesh. And through their feelings and through wrong desires. And the question is, who's pulling on that?
Yeah.
That's the enemy.
Yeah.
So what winds up happening is the enemy was successful misleading you through your own flesh. And it's just a good practice. When you get real tired, you're frustrated or aggravated about something, it's not time to make big decisions. Mm-hmm. It's not time to get on the phone and tell somebody what you think about. It's time for you to get quiet.
Yep.
Go lay before the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Take a nap. Do not let these pressure tactics of your flesh cause you to act. Because like you said, when you act on that, it's just like acting on the Word. The Spirit of God can manifest when you act in faith on the Word. But when you act on that fear and that frustration and that flesh, the enemy can manifest. You'll sense strife in the room. You'll sense the confusion. That is a manifest presence of the enemy.
It is.
That's him manifesting himself. And it's only because somebody's yielding to it.
And you can stop it just like that.
You can stop it immediately.
I mean, even after you really fouled up.
Yes.
Get some sense about you. Just say, uh-oh, wait a minute. No, I see what's happening here.
Right.
The devil's trying to steal a word out of me.
Right.
And you're not getting it, Satan. You're not stealing my hundredfold.
Exactly.
You're not stealing my harvest.
Yes, sir.
You're not stealing my healing. I'm not going to let you steal the word out of
That's
me.
That's right.
And repent before God. I mean, hit the floor, man.
Yes.
Jesus, I repent.
Yes.
You know, Keith, something I was thinking just as you were talking about that. The prophet said a virgin is going to have a baby in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very specific.
Yep.
715 years later, a virgin had a baby in Bethlehem.
Yes, sir.
Right on the mark.
That's right.
Exactly when he was supposed to be born. Now, think about how the word of that prophet had to organize and dominate century after century and lives and motivate and move around to get that, finally in the last moments of the last hours to get her in Bethlehem at that moment.
Precision.
Precision, man.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And that's,
yes, sir.
That's the Spirit that has this thing wholly planned out for you.
Yes.
And if you'll get the Word in your heart, get it in your eyes and your ears and your mouth, and be strong about it. Don't let the devil just steal it away from you all the time.
Yes, yes.
Slap him off of the thing in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And God's Word begins to form that plan up and dominate your very
Hallelujah.
Existence. And it's the most fabulous plan that there is.
Hallelujah.
And we're out of time. And we'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.